We're going to continue the series entitled The Abundant Life. This is part three. You know, the subtitle for today's message is Hearing God. Raise your hand if you want to hear God. Yes. Hearing God is absolutely for children of God. We need to know and understand that it is God's order that we hear from Him. It shouldn't be odd to hear God, to get instructions and directions from God. In order for you and I to live an abundant life, hearing God is a must. If you need wisdom, insight, or direction today, you must hear from God. We're going to talk specifically about praying and fasting as a resource to hear from God. It's a great way to quiet the noise of this world. It's a great way to tune in to what God is saying and shut out what they are saying. To really know what He wants you to do is the most important thing. Your future is in the hands of God. Shouldn't we hear from Him? Wouldn't it make the most sense to hear from the only one that knows our beginning from our end? If you think about that, we could get it twisted and we can begin to look about what so-and-so is saying and get stuck with what we did and where we came from and miss the only one who knows exactly what you need to do. The only one that knows your beginning from your end is trying to get your attention, to get my attention. Doesn't it make sense for us to tune in and hear what He's saying? It makes sense for us to quiet the noise that's going on outside. I personally have never seen the body of Christ so divided. I said the body of Christ. Amen. Never. God's tool, God's plan for the earth is absolutely divided right now because we got real good at listening to outside noise. God hasn't divided anyone. In each and every one of us who choose to listen to God, we'll go the way He told us to go. We'll go the way He desires to go. We'll connect with His plan. And the reason why the body of Christ is so divided is because the noise on the outside is louder than His voice on the inside. Somebody say amen to that truth. That's not God's order. That's not God's plan. Listen, every one of us has the ability to hear from God. The Spirit of truth is talking to you and me. Don't be distracted with the noise that is blaring on every media stream. Noise that has nothing to do with God's plan for you, your assignment. Family, it's time for us to wake up. The only thing we need to hear from is God. That's the only way, that's the only individual qualified to have our ears. The number one way for you and I to hear God is to be intentional in listening to Him. There's nothing more valuable to your future, to your family, than spending time hearing from God. It not only draws you near, but it creates a vision that's crystal clear. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. There is a sense of urgency in the Spirit for a redirecting. There is a need for God's children to say, "What are you saying to me, Dad? What would you have me to do, sir?" 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. Let's read that together. Nice and loud. Ready? Read. "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." Dear God, hearing God prevents us from having our consciences seared. If we listen to any other source, we are subject to having our consciences seared. That is talking about a branding. That's talking about a cutting off. In the Greek, it looks like katarizo. And this word literally means to cauterize, by implication, to render insensitive. When we allow our consciousness to be seared, think about it. Nobody does that on purpose. No one sets out and says, "You know, I'm going to have my conscience seared so I'm insensitive to hear the voice of God." Nobody sets out to think that way. That happens by losing focus on what matters most. So very important. Hearing God prevents our conscience from being seared. The conscience is the only thing that decides right from wrong. And if it's seared, we're cut off from what's right. Our thinking gets stripped from right and wrong. Dear God. Notice in 1 Timothy, Paul mentioned these people speaking lies in hypocrisy before he mentioned their consciences being seared. People don't have to fear their consciences malfunctioning accidentally. There is a progressive way that happens. Progressive steps have to take place in order for us to be desensitized. Lies spoken, lies believed, lies acted on takes us away from the truth of God's word. Family, it is imperative that those of us who want to keep our consciences from being seared, if you, in fact, raise your hand if you want to be sensitive to the voice of God. Am I talking to the right crowd? We're going to get some answers in just how do we do that. How do we stay sensitive to what our dad is saying to us? And here's the deal, Max, he is always talking. He is always broadcasting. He is always broadcasting good news. Anytime you and I get filled up on negative news, discouraging, depressing news, we are not listening to him. Raise your hand if you've ever been discouraged. I will raise everything I could if I could stay up. Praying and fasting is a great way to stay sensitive to the voice of God. Praying and fasting is a great way to say, you know what? You're more important than me. What you got going on is more important than my own recipes. I lose a lot of people. I start talking about prayer and fasting. Your flesh gets in your ear quick. Save me! He's trying to take from me. Help me! Help me! You get hungry, right? As soon as I start talking about fasting, people just get hungry. Our flesh is never going to volunteer to fast. Our flesh is never going to volunteer to pray. Spiritual disciplines only benefit the spirit. Romans 8:37 says we are more than conquerors through him. Family, the only way you and I are going to be more than conquerors is by utilizing his might, his power, his ability. It's going to be through him, no other way. Not around him or without him, through him. He's the only one who knows your beginning from your end. He's the only one that knows exactly what it is that he wants you to do, needs you to do. Your actions are a result of your beliefs. Believe God enough to trust him with your today and your tomorrow. Fasting requires faith. It's a spiritual discipline that not only requires faith, but it requires you to do it anyway. You know, one of the best benefits that I've found from fasting is it gets the mighty me off the throne of my life. If you could use some more insight from God, raise your hand. My dear God. You know, God is not going to compete with the noise of the world. God is not going to compete with your agenda. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take us saying, okay, I'm going to put me on hold and listen to him. And if we're honest with ourselves, we are way too busy. Somebody say amen to that. We are way too busy. He's the one that has the instructions. You know, without spiritual disciplines in our life, your soul and your body will move into the decision making spot of your life. Your belief system, Senate, will be completely taken over with your soul and your body. You know, if that happens, we are in for a bumpy ride. If that happens, we are committing to a roller coaster ride. We are committing to every wind of doctrine. We are committing to being led by our emotions and being led by what we feel. You see, we are tripart beings. We are spirit, soul, and body. So if our soul and our body is controlling the decision making, the ability for you and I to receive from God, to hear from God, is challenged. If you are depending on your soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions, and your intellect, if you're depending on your soul and your body to lead you, you're in trouble. That means 2/3 of who you are is subject to how you feel, what you think, and your own personal will. It's when we choose to allow ourselves to be who we really are. We are spirit. We possess a soul, and we live in a body. Your body is simply your earth suit. You are never supposed to be led by your emotions. You are never supposed to be driven by how you feel. All the husbands, just keep looking straight. Just keep looking straight. That is not of God. You are never supposed to be led by your feelings. Your feelings will absolutely betray you. Emotions will let you down over and over and over again. How many of you ever made a decision that you knew was right? It just felt right. And in the end, you're like, dear God, what was I thinking? How did I do that? Who was that? You are a spirit. Somebody say that. You are not what you feel. That will absolutely release somebody. You are not what you feel. You are a spirit being. So very important. If your soul and your body is ruling your house, you're going to be on a bumpy ride, roller coaster ride at best. You'll be double-minded in everything that you do, and that's not God's order. When your soul and your spirit are controlling the vote of your decision-making senate, you'll be committed to living a word life. You'll be committed to, you know what? It's not about me. You'll be committed to, you know what, Lord? Not my will, your will be done. In fact, that's the only way. That's the only way. You'll be committed to living a word life that is governed by the constitution of the kingdom of God. The constitution of the kingdom of God is the Bible. How many times have you had a contrary thought or decision to the Bible? How many times have you felt to do it one way, but you've seen in the Bible said to do it another way? Every one of you have. Every one of you. You know how I know that? Every one of us had to have the decision to forgive somebody when we didn't feel like forgiving somebody. There's three people in here right now who still needs to forgive somebody. Every one of us had to make a decision. What, the other cheek, Lord? I'm not cut out like that. Forgive them. Come on. You know what you saw what they did, Lord. You want me to give how much? Come, Lord, you know my numbers? Every one of us had to make a decision that was contrary to the way we were feeling or the way we were thinking. Every one of us. True or not true? When that happens, when we say, you know what, I'm going to do it his way, he takes over. Listen, I know you've heard me say this before. You have never made a spirit-led mistake. Never. Every mistake you've ever made has been on this side. It's the soul and your flesh. Everyone. But when we allow him to lead us, he leads us to where we should be. When you allow the spirit and the soul to be in control, you're submitting to God, like it says in James 4:7. God is responsible for who's his. Do you realize God is not a deadbeat dad? You ever think about that? God is going to take care of his own. And when you and I choose to be his, we were talking at the men's Bible study, I don't know if that was this week or last week, but one of the things that we said was to be holy. Tim asks, you know, what does it mean? What does holiness look like? And I said, to be holy is to be his. And when we understand that we're his, we understand that he takes care of us, we're not distracted with what we want. You know, how we want it to look, how we want it to come out. Here's the thing. How many of you trust God? If you listen to this, you'll doubt yourself quicker than you'll doubt God. True or not true? So make a decision with me today to forsake self and press into him. Choose to live the abundant life. Choose to hear from God from now on. Choose to hear from God from now on. Those three people, begin to, whoever you need to forgive, forgive. I don't know if it's in here or online. If you need to forgive somebody, forgive them. That came up again in my spirit. God wants to get something through to you. You know, here's the other thing. God is not going to out-talk you. When you begin to reason with God, he just lets you go on. That's pretty wild to think about. But here's the deal. The Holy Spirit is and will always be a gentleman. You are not going to be jumped on by the Holy Spirit. He's not snatching you up by the collar. He'll stand right there. Don't do it. Yeah, but you know, I just feel like this is the way to go. Don't do it. Yeah, but everybody's doing. You see, it worked out for my uncle now. Don't do it. And the moment we say, something's telling me not to do it, and we listen to him, it not only gets louder, you begin to get more sensitive to his voice. And that's how you begin to hear the voice of God. Here's the other thing. Every time you say, I don't care what you say. And we're never gonna say it that boldly. We're going to say, this is what I'm feeling. I'm going for it. Man, why did I do that? And we'll begin to, I'm out here now. And we'll begin to go away from God's plan for our lives. All God is asking us to do is have ears to hear. You know how you have ears to hear? Do stuff you don't want to do. Praying when you don't feel like praying. Fasting when you don't feel like fasting, when it's not convenient. I don't believe in fasting. Fasting believes in you. Some of you, I might go there. Conquering doubt frees up your faith to move the mountains in your life. You know, Matthew, let's go there. Let's go to, not Matthew, Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 23. You know, you can have doubt in your head and not have it in your heart and receive from God. Because here's the thing. You can't stop thoughts from flying over your head. Dad Hagin used to say it like that. He used to say, you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from landing on your head and building a nest. You can stop thoughts from attaching themselves to you. You know, every time we doubt, we have to agree with it. In order for doubt to take root, we have to rehearse it. Let's read that together. Mark 11, 22. It's on the screen. Ready? Read. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. As long as you choose not to allow doubt to get in your heart, you could move forward and live an abundant life. You can hear God all the time. Conquering doubt frees up your faith to move the mountains in your life. Hearing God comes through prayer. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. through 18. I love the book of Ephesians. You know, this is a great way for you and I to be sensitive to the voice of God. Ephesians is a wonderful book. When Paul was ministering to the church of Ephesus, they had tons and tons of issues to work through. And he was teaching them. He was training them to hear from God. He was training them to be sensitive in their spirit. In the midst of all the mess that was going on, he was constantly training them to tune in to what God was saying, is saying. It says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. What an awesome motivation. Paul was motivated to pray for the church of Ephesus because he saw that they loved Jesus and he saw that they loved the body of Christ. That was his motivation. He saw, okay, this is a group of people that I can get excited about coming into agreement with it because they love Jesus and they love the body. And my prayer is that will be said of us. What would it be like to be a body of believers that the rumors, what's being said behind our backs, man, they sure love Jesus. And you know what? They love you. They love the body. Dear God, we need that in the body of Christ today. Paul goes on to say, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Dear God, we need this. We need wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him. More than anything, we need to know what God is doing, what God is saying. In order for you and I to live an abundant life, in order for you and I to hear God, it's going to be critical that we know him. He goes on to say, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of whose calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See, he has set it up for you and I to inherit the promises of God as heirs of God. Look at your neighbor and say, you are an heir of God. You are in line to inherit the promises of God. And he's talking to you. Prayer produces insight. Paul prayed, Lord, please help them to see and understand what you've already done. And that's my prayer today. Lord, help us see and understand what you've already done. You're already broadcasting truth. You are already ministering hope and healing in our midst. You have already made us whole. Open our eyes, open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to understand that we already have it. We are already healed. It's so important. We have wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and understanding available to us through prayer. Paul was praying for them to have the light bulbs come on so that they know and understand. The same is true for us. Prayer brings boldness and unity. This is Acts chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. It says, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. That's like praise and worship. And said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Verse 29, drop down to 29. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Is the body of Christ being threatened right now? Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Dear God, I am constantly seeing the power of God fall in this place like never before. Everyone being filled with the presence of God, with insight, with wisdom, with know-how. You know, you are one encounter away from transformation. If God touches you, everything changes. When God speaks to you, everything changes. You realize that can happen in a moment? But they had all things in common, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon them all. Prayer allows us to tap into the mind of Christ. Praying in tongues enables you and I to pray the perfect will of God for your life. You know, many times praying in the natural mind just doesn't get the job done. It just doesn't. I do understand. I was going to say, I don't understand why there's such an all-out attack on praying in the Holy Spirit, but I do know. Because it's absolutely effective. It's absolutely the one thing that the enemy can't do anything about. And because of people who got it wrong or were misled or were mistaught, you know, praying in the Holy Spirit is not common across America. And it's a gift that was given by the Holy Spirit, the all-knowing, almighty Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, given to vessels, the body of Christ, to utilize, the word says, to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, to pray about things that we don't know. We don't have an understanding. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that. If you've ever experienced praying about something that you didn't know, but you prayed in the Spirit, and then it came to your understanding later, it is extremely powerful. When you don't know what the sickness or the disease is that's attacking somebody, and you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, and you get clarity, it is absolutely powerful. I remember ministering one time in a service, and I began to see words over people's heads. And I began to just say what I saw. And people were being set free because of praying in the Holy Spirit and depending on the Spirit of truth. I remember the first time I was startled by the Holy Spirit. There was a young lady sitting in the front row, and I heard an audible voice. It didn't come out of me. It was an audible voice that said, "Pray for Taylor." And I literally looked behind me, and no one was behind me. And then I heard, "Pray for Taylor." And Taylor was sitting in the front row, so I stopped my service, my teaching, my lesson, my notes, and I said, "Taylor, I'm supposed to pray for you." And I prayed for her. And because of listening to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, I prayed for Taylor, and she was delivered from a spirit of suicide to the degree that Taylor had a suicide letter in her jacket and was going home to take her own life. No amount of notes, studying that I could have possibly done would have saved Taylor's life. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, saved her life. He loved her enough. You remember Taylor? What was Taylor's last name? I probably shouldn't say her last name. I'm lying, huh? Anyway, we'll talk. We'll talk later. But saved. Here's the thing. He's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he desires to minister to right where we are. You know, before I got up and began, what I heard was they are more comfortable with stress, anxiety, than they are in my presence. And that is not God's desire, family. God desires for you and I to live an abundant life. I'm reminded of my brother being held hostage in Chicago and me being awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I got up. God wakes me up often at 3 o'clock in the morning. I got up and I started praying because I didn't know what was going on, because I trust the word of God. And the word of God says we in groanings and utterance that we don't understand. So I start praying in the Holy Spirit, and I saw a flash of my brother's face. So I said, okay, I'm praying for my brother. So I started praying in the Spirit for my brother, and I kept praying. And I prayed it out until I felt a release, so to speak. I felt like I didn't need to pray anymore. There was like a sense of urgency that went away. So when it went away, when it lifted, I stopped praying and my phone rang. And it was my brother, who was out of breath, who just escaped death, was being held at gunpoint. Someone came through the door where he was at, distracted the individual that had the gun to his head, and he broke free, got out, and ran. And he called me from the bus station in another state. No one will ever talk me out of praying in the Holy Spirit. And all of the crazy fruits and nuts that have demonstrated something different praying in the Spirit is not enough to deter me from teaching loved ones the power of praying in the Holy Spirit. So family, whatever you do, trust the word of God over the people who abused it or got it wrong. Prayer allows us to tap into the mind of Christ. Praying in tongues is the tool that God has given us to use to tap into his Spirit. When we pray in tongues, we activate our spirit to understand and to be enlightened by him. Yield to the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues, and you'll be blessed with strength, insight, ability, and answers for what's going on in your own personal life. Prayer and fasting can draw us close to God. Why would we want to get close to God? So we can hear him. We want to hear from God. Psalm 73:28 says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works." Drawing near to God. If someone's talking to you and you can't hear them, and they say, "Come here," or they lean in to whisper in your ear, you are drawing near. You're coming closer to them so you can hear them. The reason why you and I should desire to draw near, like it says in James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. When we draw near to God, it keeps us from being double-minded. When we draw near to God and we allow him to draw near to us, we can hear him. And you, if you raised your hand when I asked you who wants to hear God, who wants to hear God more, this is how that's done. Draw near to him. Set time aside. We're not initiating a corporate fast for the sake of being religious. We're not initiating a corporate fast to do what other churches are doing. We desire to hear God. And we've been doing this for 6 years. Every time we do it, I get revelation, knowledge, and insight. Because God changes? No! Because I stop all of what I'm doing and I take time out. I'm not setting appointments. I'm not preparing food, or I'm not getting ready to meet somebody somewhere for lunch. Instead, I'm sitting in my truck or I'm sitting in my office and I'm intentional about spending time with him. If you have a coach, if you spend more time with your coach, you're going to get better. If you have a mentor, a teacher, or a trainer, you spend more time. If you're learning how to play the guitar, if you spend more time with guitar lessons, will you get better? Absolutely. The only reason we pray and fast is to hear from heaven and get clarity, focus, purpose, more. What is fasting? Fasting is abstaining from anything that hinders my prayer time. Did you hear that? Anything that hinders my prayer time. You know, fasting can easily be taken as, you know, a spiritual diet. It's not what we're talking about. Because some of us watch too much TV. Some of us are like this. Some of us spend hours listening to something other than your creator and your maker. Can we be honest? So wouldn't it be awesome? Can't you expect to hear from God? If you say, okay, I'm not going to spend 2 hours on Netflix tonight. I'm going to spend an hour with my dad. A half an hour. Can't you see what could take place in 21 days if we choose him over us? Our habits, our pastimes. Fasting is the voluntary denial of a normal function for the sake of quality spiritual enhancement. Fasting does not change God. You've heard that at least 3 times. Fasting frees us up to draw near to God. When you and I choose to set time aside that you would normally use to do other things, it frees us up to hear from God in order to enhance our lives. Does that make sense? Daniel 9:3 says, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer, supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Daniel is saying, I am turning my attention to the Lord. Fasting helps us to do just that. Fasting can subject our physical realm to the spiritual realm, allowing us to disentangle ourselves from what they say and focus in on what he says. Because there's a whole bunch of naysayers out there. Would it benefit us to work on our relationship with our Father? 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wages war against the soul." The flesh wages war against the soul for the purpose of overtaking the soul to take 2/3 of your decision-making cabinet. If you are led by your flesh, if your flesh overtakes your soul, your spirit is going to have to work harder at hearing God. Does everybody understand that analogy? If your flesh wins over your soul, you'll be left with little or no input from your spirit. Why? Fast. Fast to strengthen our ability to tune in to Dad. Fasting protects us from becoming satisfied with the natural and temporary things. Man, I can't stand that. Listen to me. Loved ones, whatever you do, don't you dare get comfortable in the natural. Don't you dare subject yourself to the temporary realm. There was an amazing price paid for you to not be normal. There was an amazing price paid for you to tap into the spirit of truth. Don't settle for the natural realm or temporary things. Fast in order to guard your hearts from displacing God as your primary dependency. Fast in order to deny the physical realm mastery over us. Food, phone, TV, computers, video games, or whatever we submit to again and again instead of intentionally hearing from God. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything." 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, "I discipline my body to make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Let's look at our application. You guys have your application handy? Let's go through these. How to hear from God. Those of you who chose that you want to hear from God, how do we do that? First and foremost, what's it say? Be intentional in your listening. A great example of being intentional is praying and fasting. Number two says what? Spend quality time. James 4:8 is talking about drawing nigh. You and I drawing nigh to him and allowing him to draw nigh to us. Get close to him. Invest time getting to know God. Don't be in such a rush to get off your knees. Number three says what? Protect your conscience from being seared. Avoid lying and hypocrisy. Number four says what? Turn every weakness over to the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing. Here's a powerful truth that I've learned. Everything you hide still has you. Everything that we hide still has us. Turn everything over to the Holy Spirit. Have you ever had a problem dealing with someone in your life? Raise your hand if you've ever had a problem dealing with someone in your life. You know, the Holy Spirit is designed to help us. Is that a weakness? Is that a weakness? Let me help you. Open book test. Yes! If you are having trouble dealing with somebody, that is your weakness. The Holy Spirit helps us in our infirmities. He helps us in our weaknesses. When we allow him to do it, we can love anybody. When we allow the Holy Spirit to help us, we can love anybody. we can keep moving forward and honoring God instead of getting stuck in self. What's the last one say? Declare Ephesians 1:17 over yourself. Say it out loud. Say it out loud.